Attention everyone, this is an emergency broadcast. The loud frequency coming from your radio is not a mistake. Do not turn off your radio, but instead turn up your radio as loud as it can go. Do this so we can broadcast this frequency as loud as possible.
And welcome to another episode of Game Stuff. I'm your gaming gal, Kalai, and with me today is Roberto. What's up, Roberto?
Staying alive.
And I'm joined by Joe. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. What's too good?
Apparently saying joined by Joe. Say that three times fast.
Joined by Joe.
For those of you that are new to our podcast, we are a conversational podcast for gamers, by gamers, about gaming. This week's topic of the show is we're going to discuss games that remind us of the fall, which is brought to us by Roberto. But before we get started, let's start with what we've been playing this week. Roberto, been playing anything fun?
Yep, we go to space, we go to a city to beat up bad guys, and we... What else do we do? Oh yeah, we pilot mechs. So, the first game to talk about is actually coming this week. This coming week, 9/24, releases on at the end of this week for Xbox, Nintendo Switch, and Steam. This is an impressions statement, and this game is called Freedom Finger from Wide Angle Games. Or Wide Edge Games. I might be confused there. Wide Angle Games, I think. Yeah, my fault.
Yeah, I was actually really surprised. So I got a copy of this game to review from Roberto.
Yep, thanks to our guys over at the studio.
And I decided to check it out today on my break. Now, when I first was told about this game, I'm thinking it's something quick and easy, and I started bringing it up and started trying to actually play it, and I realized it's like a whole storyline. It looks really fucking cool, so I have to restart from the beginning.
Yeah, so here's Freedom Finger is a rock and rollin', unapologetic, no holds barred, roaring good time, so far. It is a spaceship shooter with a storyline attached, a big one, in featuring the voice work of John DiMaggio and Nolan North and a plethora of other voice actors and actresses. And features an animation style that would fit right alongside Rick and Morty, Beavis and Butthead, and so on and so forth. The premise is simple. Chinese terrorists have taken over the American lunar lander.
And by the way, I just want to say for our audience, I don't get Rick and Morty, so that's why he said Beavis and Butthead. I understand that joke.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. If you're familiar with the animation style, that really kind of chunky, detailed, really blotty type style, and some of the exaggerations of the characters, that's kind of what this game it kind of is in that regard. So anyways, here's the premise. Chinese terrorists have taken over the American base on the moon. Your objective is to get to the moon in a giant spaceship shaped like a middle finger called the Eagle Claw. Your objective is to shoot everything in sight and take down the terrorists. So, this is a wild and bonkers game, and I'd have to say that it's a game that is will find itself alongside, you know, more of the spicy kind of comedy, something along the lines of South Park or even Futurama, but in what it does and what it kind of takes on making a joke on things. But it is a very sharp game. I've had a very good time playing it so far. It was one of the first games I played at PAX East. I absolutely enjoyed it. I honestly told the developers out there, I said, hey, is this game available now? Because I'll buy it right now. So here's the where the game really takes off, and that's the gameplay. As a spaceship shooter, most games have in this genre, you're shooting left to right or up and down. There's tons and tons of enemies to fight. And in this case, all the things that happen in the level f- follow the rock and rolling music. There's actual licensed music artists, punk, like really heavy alternative punk rock type titles, and the levels move along to them. Now, granted, this isn't what I would call something like where you have to use the beat to fight and survive. This is like the music is part of the jam and part of the style. So like you'll see doors open to the rim shot of the drum. You'll see enemies fight you with certain, like, you know, guitar riffs and things like that. It's wonderful. It's fun and just really something I've never seen before. And the other part to this shooting mechanic is you can actually punch enemies and you can grab their ships and things like that and use their lasers and energy beams and things like that and use that against the enemy. So you can actually grab enemies and use them against the enemy. So it's pretty neat. I've gotten through two stages so far and it's a lot of fun. It's definitely something I think that you should absolutely pick up, even if you're not big into spaceship shooters. It's just a lot of fun, a good time, and I really highly recommend it so far. Once again, not a review. This comes courtesy of Wide Games or Wide Angle Games and you know, the PR company associated with them. So I thank you very much for the keys. And me and Kalai can't wait to talk about this more as we play the game more. The next game on our list here is actually River City Girls from Arc System Works and Way Forward. So have you guys played any of the River City games? Anything like that?
Played all of them.
No, I was supposed to play it this weekend.
Yeah, I know, Kalai, but we got sidetracked with just Shapes and Beats. And things like that. It was, I know. Yes. But you gotta admit, Justification Beats and Neon Chrome was a lot of fun. But anyways. Okay. Let's get into the point. River City Girls actually is this surprisingly announced game that was announced probably over the summer from Arc System Works and Way Forward. The Way Forward, of course, the guys being the guys that give you the Shantae games. In River City Girls, you are two young women who go to high school, and it turns out your boyfriends have been captured by a criminal entity. Your objective is to fight your way through the city and fight all the mob bosses and, of course, liberate your boyfriends. The game features full-fledged voice work, English voice work from a variety of known, well-known voice actresses, and from the heroes to the villains to the enemies, things like that. So it's very lively, very animated. The music actually is also really good as well. Has a cool female vocal singing punk rock type style to it. The animation's stellar. So it's like it looks like something ripped right from an anime. And the combat is fantastic. You get to fight with another person and alongside another person or by yourself. It's up to you. And just, it's a very fun game. I mean, I actually got the chance to play with my nephew yesterday for about a good 30 minutes for stage one. And we had a lot of fun just beating up bad guys and using special powers and all that stuff, and the humor was really cool. It's just a really, really good game. I'm still working on it. Once again, the copy came courtesy of Way Forward, so thank you very much, guys. Keep up the great work. I got a chance to play Shantae and the Seven Sirens and some other stuff they're working on, and they're just doing a really good job with what they're doing. And finally, I may have mentioned this before on my last time we talked, but Daemon X Machina. You guys have any questions about that?
No, definitely not. I'm not going to play that game.
Wait, you're playing a full version of it now?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I mentioned the demo. Probably the last time I spoke about it. But, well, why is that? Before I get to it, why is that collided? It's not your thing, or?
Yeah, it's just not my thing. And I have a lot on my backlog, so I don't want to buy a game that I'm not sure I'm not going to even like. I would have to definitely play that demo first.
Yeah, I was going to say, If you recall the timeline of this game, there was a prototype demo released earlier this year, and some people were like, "Ah, this is good." Some people were not really feeling it, but it was a prototype. They took all the feedback from the prototype and applied it to the more recently released demo, which when you play the demo, all your progress gets transferred over to the full game. And I can say it's night and day.
That's though, I do have to say, I love when they do that. I love when they actually let your progress transfer, because you're more likely to actually pick up the game, because you can be like, well, I can just continue now.
Right, exactly. So I hope more games do that. I got like a good 90 minutes into it before I finally bought the final game, and then I transferred my data over, so that was pretty cool. Now, Daemon X Machina, so the premise is actually a little bit everywhere, which is why I'd say that's one of the setbacks of the game so far. It has a fascinating story. It's just, it's not told like I would like for it to be told, like straightforward. It's just, it kind of is told through the characters, and it's told mid-mission while you're fighting everything. So basically what I can gather is a piece of the moon blew up. It fell to the earth. It impacted the earth, but it didn't kill everybody. And there's all these mercenary organizations that now exist, and they pilot in these giant mechs called arsenals. Now, there's all these machines. Some of them many of them are AI controlled. These AIs went haywire and decided to go ahead and attack humanity. And then there's these giant AIs called immortals, which are kind of like living being robots, like kind of sentient. And they also try and attack humans. So you work with these different mercenary groups, which kind of act a little bit like Game of Thrones, just a little bit with their houses. And you mingle and act with them and go on missions, and you attack the enemy. So there's a lot of different types of enemy mission varieties, of course. But normally, everything is just to blow everything up. The real meat of the whole game is, of course, to continuously build your arsenal, build your weapons, build everything, and make your own cutting-edge mech. You can also augment your human character. You have a human pilot, and you get to give him or her robot parts. So I gave, like, my female character, I gave her cybernetic eyes, I gave her a full-fledged cybernetic arm that can make her, you know, like, it increases melee attacks by, like, 100%. Steel legs, so she can just, you know, climb anything. And all sorts of other augments. So it's pretty fascinating. I like it. And so far, the real meat is the gameplay. I was a big Armored Core fan growing up, and I loved being able to customize my mech and give it anything I wanted and input different weapons and types and attachments and fight this giant enemy. I'd have to say the story, regrettably, feels a little bit too similar to Armored Core, like the Great Destruction and all that stuff. But so far, I'm having an enjoyable time. It's like, it's a 7 and 8 out of 10 type of a game for me. I like the gameplay, I like the style, I like the visuals, I like the characters are pretty cool. The ability to turn your pilot into like a cyborg basically is a lot of fun. It's a solid game. And there's online multiplayer too for co-op missions, so there's that as well. And yeah, I'm hoping this is the beginning of a new IP or something like that for Nintendo, and yeah, good on them. So that completes my trilogy. Joe, what have you been playing?
So I checked out a game called Thief Simulator by Forever Entertainment. Thank you guys for the code. It's a pretty sweet game. I have a few issues with the controls. They're a little wonky. But other than that, the gameplay is pretty tight. For those of you who aren't familiar with Thief Simulator, it pretty much simulates you being a robber. And you start off with a lot of tutorial missions on how to steal things, how to, you know, be stealthy and not alert the individuals in the house while you're stealing from them. And as you get like deeper and deeper in the game, it gets more complex and there's more things you have to worry about. It's a very, very awesome game. You guys should check it out. I'm playing mine on the Switch. I know it's also available for PC, and I know Kalai said I think it's available in VR.
Yeah, it is. I believe it packs in with the PC version, so you get the VR and the PC version.
So tell me, so give me an example, like, how do you steal? Do you just literally walk into a home and take TVs, or do you have to use stealth? Do you have to, like, I don't know, break, use a hammer and break into a window?
Yeah, so you start out, I'll give you, like, a quick synopsis of, like, the tutorial mission. So you start out in, like, the backyard, and they teach you how to sneak through, and you get a crowbar, and you smash open the window, and then once you smash it, you can lift it up. Because I guess it's locked. So then you go in the house and you're tasked with stealing as much as you can quickly and then just get out. Because this is just a tutorial mission to teach you how to steal. And then later on in the game, they give you like objectives. But then you go back to your like HUD and you can like upgrade your gear to steal with. It's really, really cool. Like, it's very, so, very...
Now, so do you have any tools to aid in your infiltration other than, let's say, a crowbar? Like, can you wear a different suit or wear, like, I don't know, slippers or something like that?
So, sorry. Yeah, you get different kind of things to add to your arsenal. I know at one point you get, like, what the hell was it? I was just playing it last night, and it's, like, all blur, because I played for so long that I did so much, and I can't remember, like, anything. What did I get? I know the one mission, you had to sneak through the house without being detected. If you got detected, you failed, and that was kind of hard. I know at the end of every mission, you have to get in your escape car, and you have to drive off the map, and, like, when you're driving around the city, you can, like, run people over and fail. Because then they alert the authorities.
Right, yeah.
So it's like...
Oh, shit, I'm fucked.
Yeah. I kind of wanted to run them over just to see what happened, but I was like, nah, I'll probably fail the mission.
Yeah. I know that instinct. There was another game I played called Bus Simulator, which simulates driving a bus, and I just said, oh, let me just hit one of the pedestrians just to see what happens, and it reset me. It didn't even bother, like, you know, like, allowing me to accidentally hit someone.
You lose.
Yeah, so, Alright, so it sounds like you don't have any weapons or anything like that to defend yourself with.
It's not really that type of game. You're pretty much just stealing. Mm-hmm. You upgrade your base, you get better stuff to steal with. You can get things that can, like, cut through glass and stuff like that. It's a pretty cool game. I'm digging it so far. I've only played about, like, 3 or 4 hours. I'm liking it. I'm definitely going to play it some more. Next up, I played more Wreckfest, and man, that game is awesome.
Yeah, it gets even better online. I gotta say, when you're playing with live players, and it's a blast.
Did you rank up yet? Like, did you get to, like, the second and third, like, tier races yet?
Not yet. I have to revisit. I think I got to level 12 or 13 ranking.
They get really hard. Like, the computer is unforgiving in that game.
Oh, I bet. So, but it's, you know what they say, you gotta fight fire with fire.
Oh, definitely.
Maybe you gotta play trashy, get dirty, you know?
Oh, man, that game's so much fun, man. I'm definitely going to hit up online. Wait, can you level up your rank online? Like, is your same rank
that I think
you have?
It's definitely,
it crosses
what,
over?
What do you call it? Yeah, there's a word for it. Oh. Not connected, like seamless or conjoined something. Because many years ago, there was a video game called Tron Evolution. It was based on Tron Legacy.
Game's
and
amazing.
Same thing. Yeah, it is. And then... One of the coolest parts was you leveled up when playing the single player campaign, and then that same level applied with the multiplayer. So then you level up when playing multiplayer. So I just thought that was really cool because, you know, it kind of makes the progress, like, seamless and connected and not, you know, disconnected. So, but yeah, okay, yeah, that is something I can confirm that is done. So that's good.
That's awesome.
Do
they give you, like, a good amount of experience while playing online?
Yeah. I'd say so. I didn't feel like it was, like, that much of a grind. I mean, I honestly, everybody plays derby matches. So, and for those that don't know, derby matches is just straight up free-for-all, last man standing. You have to, well, not even so much last man standing. You can get wrecked and then respawn with a full health of bar of health for your car. And then, so then it's your kill count. So if you can try and wreck, like, you know, 3 or 4 guys, then you're going to be up there.
Yeah, I got to one mission where, like, you literally play as, like, it's like a land tiller, like, that, like, tills land.
Yeah.
It's insane. And, like, you just run into other land tiller vehicles, and I was like, this is insane. This is, like, a giant vehicle that, like, cultivates land, and I'm just using it to run into people. Like, the game is
school,
amazing.
School buses, trucks.
Such a cool game.
Couches, lawnmowers. Yeah, it's...
I played another mission where you played as one of the mini buses, and you had to you had to avoid the giant buses trying to run you over.
That sounds intense.
Oh, it was so hard. Such a
cool
game, though. I would definitely tell anybody that... Pick it up. I mean, I think it's only like a $40 game.
Yeah, like PS4, Xbox One, the only platform it's not available on is Switch, but honestly...
Man, if it was available on the Switch, I would buy it. I would give this developer my money. Like, straight up. If it ever comes to the Switch, mark my words, I will buy this game again.
Yeah, I agree. What's the last game that you played?
The last thing I played was Fire Emblem Three Houses. I probably put another 4 or 5 hours into Three Houses. Beat a few more chapters, and I can't say enough good things about that game. Like, it's really.
I can't help but call it, not to interrupt, but I can't help but think of it as just Harry Potter and the Fire Emblem.
It's, okay, so I get you there, but that's what makes this game so much better than the last, and I love the last two games, but like this one, just the amount of time you spend with each character, they make you care more about the characters, and you don't want to lose them.
So like, it sounds like if they get killed in combat, it's like it feels like a piece of you has just been like
100%. And
wow,
I like Kalai. You've played it, so like you understand. You don't get a lot of units in this one too. Like, you know how past ones, like, you got a shitload of units. Yeah, and this one,
and then
not...
you would always open up new units because you'd be like, come on, quick, make some
exactly
glove and give me some more units.
It's not like that in this one. And you know what I noticed in this one too? The conversational trees, the only person that can marry someone is you. They all stop at really? They all stop at A rank except you. You're the only one with an S rank. I just noticed it today. I was like, that's peculiar. I wonder if that's actually true.
Have you gotten past the 5-year jump?
I have not yet. Have you?
No.
I'm wondering if things change. I haven't played it enough, like, honestly, and.
Yeah.
I'm trying to play it as much as I can before Friday because I'm probably going to pick up Dragon Quest on the Switch on Friday. Spoilers. I love Dragon Quest. I'm also buying Dragon Quest 1, 2, and 3 on Friday as well because I'm stupid.
I'm holding off. I bought Link's Awakening and
Did you?
Star Wars. Yeah, and I really want to try and...
Did you play it yet?
Not yet. So, and then thanks. I should add that as a birthday gift... from the legend herself, Kalai McPherson, I received a copy of Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate, so on the Switch. So I need to play that and get my gets good as the cool people say.
We'll induct you into the clan and you can play with us.
So I'm pretty good.
And wait, I just want to put a shout out to everybody that's listening. If you play Monster Hunter Generations and don't have somebody to play with, please hit us up on our Facebook group because we will play. We will help you. We will help you whatever you want.
That's one thing I'll never say no to is playing Monster Hunter on the Switch. Like, I play that game all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We actually just played it before recording. We usually do, but...
Spoiler!
Yeah. So then in any case, that's good, though, with the Fire Emblem and everything.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, like I said, I've probably put almost 15, 16 hours into it, and I feel like I still haven't done anything... But that's because the characters are so amazing that all I want to do is walk around and talk to everybody.
That's good, man. All right.
Kalai, what have you been playing?
Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate.
Did you log in another like 50 hours this week?
Close to it. You know, I'm at 120 hours.
Whoa. I'm at 25 and a half. Make me look bad.
20. Yeah. So... This week has been extremely busy for me. I have not had time to really sit down and play any games. And when I did sit down, I just couldn't get into anything but Monster Hunter because I could be like, oh, you know, I want to get a little bit further. I've been playing a lot of single player since Joe hasn't been available. And I think Jim felt really bad for me because I just wanted to play with somebody and nobody would play with me. So for his birthday, he got his... money on eShop because he wouldn't tell me what he wanted for his birthday, so I told everybody to get him eShop money. He's like, I have a lot of eShop money, so I think I'll pick it up on the eShop. It's still $50 on the eShop, by the way.
Monster Hunter, especially that one, is just it's the bread and butter for Nintendo and mobile playing and all that stuff. Especially, it has a good history on the 3DS, so yeah.
I know, but what surprised me is it's not $50 physically.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I saw it on sale. You know, I saw it on sale at Best Buy for $30. So you're right.
I know. What a coincidence. It was on sale at Best Buy for $30.
Because I went to go and I got like an external hard drive and something else in John Wick 3. And I was just like, I want to get that. But no, Roberto, just take a step back. You got other stuff going on. You got review codes up the ching chang. So take it easy.
Up the ching.
But yeah, that is... That is interesting, because and it's funny, because I remember, like, part of it, games going digital was so then you saved costs on manufacturing and physically and shipping and all that, so technically it should be cheaper, but I don't know. Nintendo, that's how Nintendo rolls.
Yeah, so what I wound up doing is Jim wound up playing the demo of the game first, because there is a demo. But their demo isn't as cool as the other demos where you get the continual progress. It's three monsters, beginner, intermediate, and advanced. The beginner one is the stupid bird that just jumps up and kicks you in the face. So he played that one, and he decided to try the regular bow because he has over 100 hours in Monster Hunter Worlds, and that's what he uses, and he didn't like the bow. I thought, oh shit, he's not going to like this game, he's not going to buy it. I'm still not going to have everybody to play with. So then he's like, I'm going to try the light bow gun. He had so much fun with the light bow gun. You have 25 minutes to kill that monster in the demo, and he couldn't do it because I couldn't jump in. And he had so much fun. We were giggling so hard at how this thing works. Have you ever used the light bow gun, Joe?
Yes, I've used every weapon in that game at least once. I usually go through the training every time I buy a new Monster Hunter game, especially like the ones on the 3DS and the Switch. So yeah, I've replayed all like the training missions. So yeah, I definitely used every weapon at least once, and I do like the bow, especially when you're fighting stupid shit like the Nibble Snarf, where you have to hit like a particular like piece of its body during.
Yeah, the uvula.
Yeah, the uvula. his mouth ball sack.
His mouth ball sack.
That's pretty much what it is.
Yeah. So he had so much fun. He's like, you know, I think for $50, I'm gonna check it out and jump in with you. So we got to play the Tetsukabra. We beat him. And then right before we played with Joe, and we played the Gyspros. I'm so bad at these names. Sorry. Gyspros. And usually what happens when you play Monster Hunter is that you attack it for a while, and then it moves to the next area, and you follow it, and you attack it a while, moves to the next area, and you attack it for a while, and then it usually dies or you capture it. We, what, killed it in 4 minutes? It didn't even get a chance to run from us?
Like 4 minutes and, like, 52 seconds. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mounted it, and then they just beat the shit out of it, and it died before I even, like, made it collapse to the ground. Because I'm like, wait a second, it's supposed to throw me off, because it definitely beat me on the gauge, but then it was dead, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I was like, that happened. Well, do you remember the one like guy from Japan we played with like a month ago? And he's like Hunter rank 99999, and all he did was like kill things in like a minute and a half.
Yeah.
Yo, I'm not gonna. I'll add something like that from Daemon X Machina. I paired up with two guys, and they had I think they were definitely from Japan because their usernames were in that writing. I didn't want to just say words. I wanted to say the appropriate
kanji.
Alphabet. Kanji, yeah. Kanji. And yeah. So then
telemarketers calling during our recording, don't they know?
I didn't know this is a live call-in show.
And it is a robocall. Like, god damn it. It's not, I thought clowns were bad in 2016, but robocalls are worse in 2019. God. It's horrible. But anyways,
so I didn't get a chance Roberto. I didn't get a chance to ask you. How many hours did you play of Daemon X Machina?
Oh, me? I played about let's say.
Thank you for your call.
I played about I'd say like 6 hours by now. I've been like a little bit at a time. It's great when it's undocked, especially because it's like it has missions that last, I'd say, an average of like 10 minutes. And
you pick it up?
Well, like I said, all the reasons I said before, just I'm a big fan of Armored Core and the original guys behind Armored Core, particularly the mech designers are behind it. And I just really just liked the overall look, the sci-fi style. I mean, the cyberpunk world, it looked neat. I liked it.
And one more question. How many systems did you buy it for?
It's not Starlink.
Gee, it must. It's exclusive, so it must be only for the Switch. Which, like I said, but it's doing well. I mean, it's doing well. I mean, I played the online multiplayer, and like I said, it was a lot of the lobbies were full, and then I got these. Like I said, the two guys are from Japan. Yeah, the two guys from Japan. We took out an immortal, which is basically their versions of a giant boss.
How's and the game work? Is the online, like, multiplayer, or is it you play the story mode with other people online? Like, how does that... Like, I'm trying to get more, info in this game, because I'm interested in Daemon X Machina. I was from the jump.
Would have to say, I don't know about story mode, but it's just, like, the missions that were there. You go into an area, you shoot a lot of AIs. The immortal ones have a lot of credit, because they're giant, giant, giant machines that take a lot of damage to take down. And they're not easy to take down at all. So there's that, and they take some time. And then there's other ones where you fight other arsenals, which are piloted by other pilots, so they take a beating. There is also a local multiplayer, like, you know, if you have different switches. So it's pretty cool. Like I said, like it's, you know, the people that I've played with have been great. Those guys from Japan, we made short work of this giant snake-like mechanical tank, so that was flying in the sky. So that was it. Like I said, it's fun. So yeah,
it sounds like Monster Hunter Mechs.
In a sense, in that sense, it kind of is. Especially when you shoot some of the arsenals, some of the mechs, you actually can scavenge them for parts. So you can grab a missile or a missile launcher or an arm or a leg or something like that, and then bring it back to base, and then you can customize that with your parts, or you can develop new parts, or you can sell it or equip it or anything like that. So it's pretty cool.
Now this is a budget title, right? It's retailing for $49 or $39.99. Is that what Daemon X Machina?
I didn't see that. I think it's full price.
Is it 60? I could have sworn it was 40.
And then in England they got a really, really nice limited edition set that has like a, or no, I take that back. Well, actually, they did get a limited edition set over there, and then in the same for Link's Awakening, they got like a steel box of the Game Boy over there in the United States, in Britain. We didn't get that here in the U.S.
We didn't get that here. What did we get with our collector's edition?
Not nine, nothing. Unless you went to Nintendo New York City and got the poster, but in any case, I think I've run the clock on talk about Daemon X Machina. So let's move on to the subject. Video games that remind us of the fall.
Can I finish what I've been playing?
You said Monster Hunter.
Oh my goodness, sorry. I'm sorry, Kalai. Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. Take that back.
I played one more game that I thought was very important to talk about. Because from Roberto's recommendation, I decided to try Creature in the Well this week.
Oh yeah.
And that did not go very well for me. I found the game frustrating. I didn't understand how to heal myself, which was a big problem. Like, it was never explained to me in the game. I had explored looking to try to heal myself, and I just couldn't find it. The whole trying to direct the pinballs with a sword, it was just weird to me. I couldn't get into it, so I think I need to take a step back, and I need to start fresh and try again on a different day when I wasn't so exhausted from the party. So.
Oh, yeah. I'd say that, like I said, with that game, you start off, I mean, when you first get into the machine, the giant fortress, and you work your way into the machine, you are going to die a couple times. It's inevitable. And then the monster's going to throw you back into the village. But what happens is that you can go into the village, if you're good enough, you can actually collect cores. The cores can then enhance your health. Every time you go back into the giant fortress, there's a small white bath before you get to the main terminal. There, you can charge up. And then your health and everything. So
yeah, I couldn't find that, so I'm gonna have to look.
Yeah,
at that.
Yeah. So
I don't know about it.
I'd say definitely give it another chance, and I think it'll gel well on you.
Yeah. So yeah, let's go to our topic of the show. So, Roberta, you want to talk about games that remind you of fall? Do you want to give us an example?
Fall is about change. It's about letting things go and retire, and before that change comes, you got one last moment to enjoy the color and to enjoy the scent and the sight of the sound. The trees start going into hibernation, The colors of the leaves change. It's a peaceful time. It's a time to reflect on nature, time to reflect on change and change, what change means in our lives. And to kind of, and also reflection. And also pumpkin spice latte, so that's your thing. So, that being said, I just, when I think of the fall, I think of autumn. I also think of Halloween, but I also think of the leaves changing. I think of pumpkins. I think of people kind of, you know.
Right, but what video game do you think of?
That's a bunch, I was just kind of, you caught me there because I was, I was mid thought and then I got intercepted. But anyway, I think of other games that are about change. I think about games like Jupiter Mars, which is a, it's actually a game where you are two dolphins in the ocean long after humans have left, and your objective is to try and change the, you know, destroy like a lot of the pollutants and things like that and help change the planet.
When the humans left, did you say so long and thanks for all the fish?
That might be it. I didn't finish the game yet, but I'm pretty sure it's two dolphins. I'd be very disappointed if that reference was not there. Although I did say that the other day with something, but that's a whole nother story. So, yeah, there's also games, that there's this one game I played about, Fox, oh my gosh, no, there was, it's like I have the game on the top of my head and something, Change of the Seasons. It's this platformer that was released for a couple years ago for PS4, and your objective is to kind of go and reset the seasons, and you can change the level to be ice and not be ice and things like that. And it's just a beautiful game. The whole, like, you're a fox or whatever, and the whole game looks like it's hand painted. It's wonderful. Into the Seasons, it was called. So yeah, there's that one. And then I also think of Flower. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, Flower's a beautiful
game.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never really played it though.
Oh, it's on the Vita. if you bought it. But Flower, that is the kind of game you play and you get lost in it, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful title. What about you guys?
Yeah, what about you, Joe? I have a question. What do you think of?
Fall?
When you think of fall, what video games come to mind?
The first one that definitely comes to mind is Madden Football.
I know it really
comes out at the end of the summer, but it really reminds me of like the start of the school year. Like Madden used to always come out like the week before school started or like the very middle of August. And I mean, I remember like going back to school the first day and like, oh man, how many times did you win the Super Bowl, or how many times did you do this in Madden? Or hey, are you coming over after school to play Madden? Or are we playing online? Like, I remember that always being like the key game that reminded me of like fall, or just getting like more hyped up to play like MLB, whatever year it was, because, you know, baseball was heating up and it was getting close to the playoffs. So I started playing.
A question about the MLB. Did you get the newest one, MLB 19?
I got it when it came out. I got it for my birthday. I always get it for my birthday every year.
Okay, because you know it's going to be free this month.
Yeah, I know. Next month, yeah, I know. And so is,
yeah, oh, next month, I'm sorry.
So is Last of Us, which is cool, but I'm pretty sure like everybody owns The Last of Us. And if you don't, you should.
Right. Well, that's good. I mean, like, you know, the football's a big deal in the fall.
I would say the game that reminds me the most of the fall is probably WWE, because it comes out every single fall. And it's always like the game that's the last game to come out before like all those big games come out in like November. It's always in late October or like the end of September. So that always reminds me of the fall, because I always get super excited for what the new WWE game is going to be like, or I can't wait to restart my universe and, you know, get all the trophies and play with my friends. So that's usually what fall reminds me of. Fall always reminds me of, you know, and I think one more thing it reminds me of is like RPGs. Like a lot of RPGs used to come out in the fall.
Yeah, like, because, you know, especially with some of the RPGs that deal with change and deal with characters developing and saving the world, and it's like that one, it's at the beginning of the holiday season, that season of perpetual hope and all that, so.
Definitely. Yeah. I can say a lot, like last year, Dragon Quest XI came out the first week in September. So close to fall, but not really fall. Still the end of the summer, but it's cool to play some of those games in the fall when, you know, things are really calm and, you know, everything's changing and the weather's getting a little bit cooler outside. And fall would remind me of handheld gaming too. Like, I do a lot of handheld gaming all year, but in the fall, it's nice to kick back with your Switch or your 3DS and just play all those games that, you know, you missed during the year. Fall's a big cleanup time for me. I don't know about you guys. It's like a backlog beatdown time before you get ready to play those big hitters that are coming.
In a sense,
In the winter.
Right. Especially, well, I'd have to say that's definitely, I'm feeling that because right now, I don't know if I'm going to pick up The Last of Us 2 on, I mean, it was just announced today with the release date. I have to still play the first one. I still got to play Uncharted 4. I got a lot of backlog to do, so.
I
got to
play the first one again, too. I played, like, halfway through The Last of Us, but stopped.
Right.
But
it's and like, then, a, right, yeah.
I'm going to play it again, though. I'm definitely going to give it its fair shake.
What about you, Kalai?
I was going to say Animal Crossing.
There you go. Okay. All right.
One of the few ones that actually, you know, fall, you see a little character come out with his little sweater and the leaves are all, you have to rake up all the leaves. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking about that one.
I love Animal Crossing.
I was also thinking about, like, for me, like, Gears of War, because that always came out in October.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or September.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I'm going to go a little bit out of the way and make this terrible joke, Monster Hunter, because I like to trap the monsters in the pitfall trap.
Kalai, I might just disconnect this conversation right now. Oh my god, wow. That's terrible.
It's a pretty bad
joke. That's worse than the joke that I made this morning. They showed, on Twitter, Doom shared a demon being ripped in, like, three times with a chainsaw, and I said, gee, I hope you don't get torn up today at work. But then again, that's a perfectly suitable joke because it's Doom guy and he's been our Lord and Savior hero for decades. So,
also, there's also Pitfall.
I never played those.
I love Pitfall. I like the ones on PlayStation 1 and the 360 and the Super Nintendo where they made it more of an adventure, like 2D platformer.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'd say, like, Pitfall I've always wanted to just kind of check out. I never really got into those. I'd say part of The Legend of Zelda? I mean, the Ocarina of Time, like, that, when you're in, like, the forest and all that with the Deku Tree, I haven't finished that game ever, but I just remember, you know, seeing that, and that was, like, always, like, something, a big theme that happens at the beginning of the game because, you know, you're the boy without a fairy, and, you know, and now, like, you know, the destiny of saving this world befalls to you, and the tree unfortunately deteriorates, and it's like you've received this whole change, and now, like, you know, it falls upon you to save the whole world, you know? So,
he's the boy without the fairy, and then he gets the most fucking annoying fairy. Like,
the Jar Jar Binks fairy, basically.
So you just compared Navi to Jar Jar Binks. It's pretty funny.
A little bit, yeah, because, I mean, I like Jar Jar, but, you know, but it's like...
I was a huge
Jar Jar is like...
Fan. Let's talk about this. It's a little tangent, but I was a huge Jar Jar Binks fan. I was pulling for him so hard. I thought he was a cool, unique character. I had my Jar Jar Binks beach towel. I had my action figures. I bought every single thing you could find, and my friends tore my ass a new one. They were like,
I never,
dumbest character. They used to use the word, like, gay when people used to use that as a derogatory slang word before we couldn't use it anymore. Even though we should never used it in the beginning.
Right, agreed.
But, yeah. Side tangent over. Jar Jar Binks wasn't a cool character.
Yeah, but... I like same yeah, but because he's like Annie, but I don't know. I liked him, and then it's like you got Annie, and then the fairy is like, hey, listen, all the time.
Oh,
so
God, shut
you know. But anyways,
moving along. Link to the Past reminds me of the fall because that's when I beat it for the first time. I beat it in the fall, so I'll never forget that.
Now there's one game actually that's not out yet that this would be perfect for, considering that everyone's all about the pumpkin spice latte right now. There's a game in development called called Necro Barista, and it's about people when they die, they go to this barista, this coffee place, and excuse me, they actually can wager how much, like, their lives or how many hours they can to come back to the real world or go to heaven. What? In this bar. It's actually really cool.
Is this coming to the Switch? Because I want to play this.
I mean, it's on PC. It's heading to PC soon. I think sometime next year or later this year. And then the idea is to bring it on Switch, because Switch is becoming a bit of a haven for, you know, visual novels, story based games like that. So,
Roberto, you know what game comes out in the fall? Shitty games too.
Which, speaking of games, do we have? I think we have to have. I think we have to have an intervention, Joe.
My Roberto. For me? Well, yeah, he needs. No, to I didn't get a review. I know what you're thinking. I did not get a review copy for Contra, or
I feel like
request
you should
one.
Put your money where your mouth is and buy it. It's only $40, Roberto. Do it, and then you could do a full review.
I don't
for
think
the show.
He does know what I'm talking about.
Death Stranding.
No,
I'm not talking about Death Stranding. I'm talking about Kickstarter.
What? Are you? Wait, no. Are you mad because I funded that? Okay, my Twitter blew up this morning.
Wait,
I can't help it. That game looks good.
What'd you fund?
He funded a game on Kickstarter, which I'm all right for. But he funded it at the $100 level.
Yeah.
What game is this?
Mindseize. It looks like a side scroller, action pack, adventure. I can't, you know where they get me? They get me with the sound, put your name in the credits, get a soundtrack, get a booklet, get a physical copy, get a digital copy, get the get a t-shirt. They suck, they get hook me in. But to be fair, I fund things that are gonna, like, you know, that look pretty good, and this one looked pretty good, I'm not gonna lie, and, you know, I'm happy for them.
I get you. But you need to go buy Contra, because I'm expecting a full review of Contra, Rogue Corps.
Wait, I have a question for you, Roberto. Have you played previous Contras?
The last Contra I played... Oh boy, what was that? I mean, I had gotten the Contra collection, but in terms of, like, the last real Contra game I played was Blazing Chrome. In terms of, like, the last traditional Contra game was Neo Contra on the PS2.
Oh my god.
But I like that one with the music and the action and all that. It was just this wild ride that you could have for an hour. So,
all right, so breaking news on the Game Stuff podcast. You can now waste your money and pre-order the collector's edition of The Last of Us 2 for, it looks like, $229.99.
Did I just hear Tricky's credit card jump out of his wallet?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's going to order the that one and the premium edition and the super extra premium edition. And
what do you get for $229?
Okay, so for $229, you get an Ellie statue, you get a backpack, you get a soundtrack, it looks like you get a still. Oh, hold on. I can read it off the actual freaking thing. Steelbook, full game, 12-inch Ellie statue, 48-page mini art book from Dark Horse Comics. You get Ellie's backpack. That's actually pretty fucking cool. You get Ellie's bracelet.
That is a little cool.
You get Ellie's bracelet. You get the logo patch. You get a lithograph art print and thank you letter for buying the game. But that's pretty cool. You get a 7-inch vinyl record featuring music from the original soundtrack. So you get a vinyl. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You get a set of 5 stickers. Woohoo. And you get 6 enamel pins. That's a lot for $229. I mean, again, I'm not a huge collector's edition person. But hey, man, to each your own, right? If you want to continue being part of the problem, go ahead.
Tricky, I'm calling dibs on your Ellie backpack.
You can fuck off with that, because he's not giving that to anyone.
Well, hopefully it is a backpack and not some kind of nylon nonsense.
Oh, are you talking about the Fallout?
And then now it turns out their helmets are being recalled because of mold.
They grow mold.
Yeah. No.
That's not from the collector's edition.
Wait, you bought one of those?
Yeah.
You better get your helmet recalled. It grows mold.
That's not no. It's not that helmet. It's the helmet that they're selling separately.
No, it's the helmet that came with the game.
I looked at the helmet. I saw the helmet.
You sure?
That's positive. The helmet looks red. The helmet that comes with the actual game is green.
Yeah, it's green.
A. B, it's only through... It's a Best Buy exclusive. And the collector's edition for Fallout 76 was not a Best Buy exclusive. It was not a GameStop exclusive. I got it through Best Buy. So it's actually a specific model for GameStop.
Ha! Power to the player.
Mm-hmm.
Power to the player. All right. I think that brings us to the end of our show. Yeah, we went way off get in touch with Roberto.
We went way off topic, but I hope that people just, you know, take in the fall and take in the sights and experience the change in their lives. But anyways, that being said, all right. So you can reach me at the following. I'm going to be on PlayStation Network at VectorMan88. You can also reach me at on Nintendo Switch with the Switch key. If you follow me on Twitter or follow me on Facebook, then I have my Switch link, so I can just add you. The other thing is, I am now a writer for Betty's Bombers, which is a brand new charity that's going to be looking and using video games to help first responders. And I'll be contributing there as someone writing about different mental health awareness, mental health subjects and things like that. I am still going to be a contributor to also to stackup.org. And keeps going. Find me on Twitter at jehuty88. That's J-E-H-U-T-Y. And here on Facebook at the GameStuff Chat. So thank you very much for all your help and your support, guys. It's greatly appreciated. What about you, Joe?
You can find me on PlayStation Network at MrTMNT84, and that's also on Twitter, again, at MrTMNT84.
You can also find us on Twitter at GameStuffCast, that Roberto is handling. And our Facebook, you can search our Facebook GameStuff Podcast. We have a Patreon page. It's patreon.com/provengamer. You can also find me at Steam at Kali21. You can find me on the same name for Twitter. You can find me on PlayStation at Miley1978, M-A-I-L-E-1978. You can find me on, of course, Xbox Miley21. I've been playing Gears of War. If you'd like to play some Gears of War with me, I did just beat Horde mode from 1 to 50 this weekend.
Oh, shit. Yeah. On what difficulty?
Beginner.
Still, that's an accomplishment. Congratulations.
Yeah, I had somebody said to me, Kali, have you played Horde mode before? And I said, yeah, I've played every Gears of War. And his friend went, yeah, dude, you're the only noob.
Like, I ain't no bitch.
Wow. Yep. We do have some sponsors. We're sponsored by Amazon. Just go to provengamer.com, click on any Amazon link, and do your shopping like normal. We are also supported by Humble Bundle. We have a link in our show notes. You follow that link. Do your shopping for your PC games and Switch games, like Monster Hunter. And it supports Extra Life for the kids.
For the kids.
If you do like this show, check out our other shows. We have the Trophy Horse and the Nintendo Dual Screens. So thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of Game Stuff.
Thank you very much, everyone. May the Force be with you.
Check you guys later.